With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
A bit of an unexpected pink after Liverpool got defeated 3-0 by Manchester City in the Continental Cup today at Prenton Park. Liverpool's women came up against a very good Manchester City side. The reason why it's a little bit unexpected is that we've had to come back to the studio to get it done, given the fact that the place where we normally get it done was closing up. So it's Neil Atkinson, I've got John Gibbons, and I've got Emma Sanders. And we're going to spend a lot of this show, I think, actually, Emma, discussing the quality of Manchester City. I think today, I'm not going to say something as dramatic as a rude awakening for Liverpool, because that would suggest that Liverpool weren't aware of it. They do really well in the Continental Cup last time out against Manchester United. Liverpool, they deserve to win 3-1. There's a gulf, though, between Manchester City and United, and I think you get to see that on show today. Manchester City, I was so impressed with.
Yeah, massively impressed. And I was at Wembley on the weekend when obviously Manchester City won the FA Cup. So I think a lot of people were thinking, oh, they might be a bit tired from that.
That went to extra time.
Exactly. But, you know, so whether or not the players that were obviously performed in that game were going to be tired, or whether or not just the simple celebration and the mental exhaustion of celebrating that cup victory would have, you know, an effect in terms of tiredness on the squad as a whole. But they made 7 changes to the starting 11. And it was still, you know, a crazily strong starting 11. You know, they had Sam Mewis in there, who was excellent again today. Obviously, we all know what her qualities are. But, I mean, the players that they brought off the bench as well. Steph Horton came on, Rose Avell came on, Ellen White came on. These are huge, huge names. So, yes, let's make that clear that City always, in terms of squad depth, were always going to be a step above. But as you said, I think on the pitch, they just looked really sharp. And I spoke to their manager, Gareth Taylor, about this post-match, actually, and I said, he's obviously a new manager that's come in. They've brought some new players in. It was always going to take a little bit of time for them to gel. They have been criticised. They've had a slow start to the league season. But that FA Cup victory and their performance, particularly at Wembley, and then again today, it looks like they're starting to click, and they look like those players that they've brought in have really taken them to another level. They looked sharp. They were passing it around the park really, really quickly. The movement of the players was just phenomenal. And you're right, they were a class above the Manchester United team that Liverpool faced, and they were, you know, clearly a class above Liverpool as well.
You'd expect them to be a class above Liverpool, John, and that's why we shouldn't characterise it, as I said before, as a rude awakening. You know, we discussed Liverpool's relegation at length during the summer. The idea that, you know, the club's trying to set a certain sort of new direction. And this is that Manchester City side today, really, that's the target, isn't it? You know, a side that's that fluent, that strong. There wasn't an area of the game. You know, they showed the exceptional commitment. So did Liverpool, and we'll come on to that in a minute. But, you know, Manchester City were a big side, a physically dominant side, a technically gifted side. They were fit as anything, and they were really, really well drilled.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because you say, like, oh, you know, that's the target. And that's where the sort of slight frustrating thing comes in, that, you know, four of their starting 11 used to play for Liverpool. And there's another one on the bench as well. So five in that squad were all at Liverpool at some points. And so that's the kind of frustration. If you think, well, you know, if we'd have been able to keep all these players, you know, if you'd have been able to convince them that Liverpool was the best place for them, then maybe it would be us there. But that's the past. You've got to live in the realities of now. And the realities of now is that Manchester City are, you know, currently a cut ahead of Liverpool. But saying that, I thought Liverpool did well. They were in the game till right before half time. You know, that goal was a real shame because it comes a minute after probably Liverpool's best opportunity, really, which fell to Vitola, and she just sort of ended up sort of, you know, a heavy touch running through to the keeper, but it was 3-1 goal, and then they scored straight after. So I think Liverpool could be pleased with how they stuck in the game. But it's funny, I was laughing with you on the way out, Neil. I didn't really engage with the fact that I was watching Man City today, because it was a Wednesday 2:00 kickoff, which is a mad time to watch football. You know, you get everything done, you think, oh, you know, I've got to do this, got to do that, got to go and see this person, then I'm going to watch Liverpool. And then you get there and you're faced with all these international talents. And look, I'm not going to, you know, I've never professed to have an amazing knowledge of the women's game inside and out. You know, we're all learning together, aren't we? You know, I mean, me and the listener, not Emma. you know, that's the point of this, isn't it? It's just also learning together. But, you know, you know all the team and all the bench. Yeah. You know, even with a small knowledge of sort of women's football, really. And you know, we were on the same side as Man City's right hand side today, and just, you know, fantastic. Sort of watching those Lucy Brands, we know all about, not just from a Liverpool days, obviously, but what she's gone on to achieve. You know, but I thought, you know, the winger ahead of her, just such an exciting player. Just I love a winger who just gets the ball and drives. And that's all you saw from her. And I thought, to be fair, Hines did really well.
Yes, really well first half.
Really,
Hines.
Really well sort of dealing with it, because, yeah, she took a lot of dealing with.
She did take a lot of dealing with Emma. I think one of the bits that you suddenly see in terms of that step up from a Liverpool point of view, and one of the things they'll reflect upon, is how Manchester City, they press so well, they press so cleverly, they cut off options and lanes. But then what happened to Liverpool, I think, a little bit during the match, was they began to be pressed in their own heads. That when they did have a bit of time to play a tiny little bit of football, because they were so hard, they'd been so harried for so long, it's like, well, no, we won't do the right thing now either. And it's an interesting way of, you know, Manchester City, because they had that feel of being a cut above, they just rattled Liverpool, even when Liverpool didn't even entirely need to be rattled.
Yeah, I completely agree. And actually, Vicky Jetson said post-match that she'd set the team up to play, you know, with a block, and basically just to try and, you know, be organised and hold them out for as long as possible. And it, at times, it was very much just get it out, let's just get it away, let's just hoof it up, which, you know, is fine for the first 15-20 minutes when you're trying to get into the game. But when you're a goal down, when you're 2-0 down and you do have to play, there were times when, you know, either the runs weren't being made. We discussed this when we were in Friends Park. There was a moment where Rinzola did really well to keep hold of the ball over on the far side to where we were sitting, and there was just nobody making those runs.
Nobody
in behind.
Gambling.
Yeah, nobody gambling. There was too many times for me where you know, our forwards were in offside positions and not really in much urgency to get into onside positions, whether or not that was just because, you know, they're tired from having to press and work so hard off the ball. And like you say, City were just really squeezing the spaces, and they were suffocating Liverpool. But I also think that's where that gap in terms of quality comes in. And you know, we know that this Liverpool team is more than capable of playing in the WSL. That victory over Manchester United in the Conte Cup obviously proves that. But Manchester City in that peak level in the WSL for a reason, and that's because they are just better.
Yeah, I think the problem is when you're playing against a side like that, the deeper you get, the harder it is to then get men forward in support, isn't it? So there was a couple of opportunities to counter-attack, but you felt that whoever it went to, whether it was Rinzola or Jess Clark, then had to do really well to sort of get up to...
Just to hold on to it.
And sometimes they did, and sometimes Liverpool worked really well up the pitch, and as I say, did create chances, and there was a couple that fell forward, certainly first half, still at 0-0, where, you know, you wouldn't say great chances, do you know what I mean? But it was certainly opportunities to test the keeper or sort of hit the opposition and remind City they were in a game, really. But it was always just that bit of a slog, as I say, because it was one or two up against them, and it's a really strong Man City defence, isn't it? So I think, you know, I did sort of feel for them, really. And also, you've got to say as well that Liverpool's best players on the bench, and that's a sign of where our priorities lie this season as well. You know, that Manchester United result was brilliant, and look, we loved it. We had a great time, didn't we, that afternoon? But, you know, it's I understand why Jepsen's gone for a strong team, because you don't want to get hammered. But at the same time, leaving Furness on the bench, I think, does show that you know, Sunday's the one you want to win.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned the bench there as well, because I do think, while we look at the outfield players, actually having Rachel Laws on the bench, who's obviously the first choice goalkeeper, yeah, she's very calm as well, isn't she? So there was a lot of times where our defenders did, you know, worked really hard to win the ball back, and then were just kind of lumping it forward because they were a bit nervous having the ball in Liverpool's half. And I think
Rinzola was getting frustrated up front on her own as well. She was like, "What do you want me to do with that?" You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, like you said,
like she's Natasha Dowie.
Yeah. Well, because like there was so much space behind her that she would still have to run into and you say hold the ball up. So I do think while I actually thought Riley Foster came in and did very well in goal,
fine,
I do think the scoreline sort of doesn't quite reflect her performance. But I do think without having Rachel Laws, with that calming sort of figure at the back, probably had an impact as well.
Also, there was half-time substitutions, which we'll come on to. Both full-backs are taken off at half-time, Emma. But I do want to mention both of them. I think that in terms of... In Taylor Hines' case, excellent sort of Marston of a very, very good opponent. And in Rhianna Roberts' case, excellent muck and bullet stuff, reacting to circumstances, reading the game really well, understanding where the threat's going to come from. I think both of them had an excellent first half.
Yeah, I agree. I think Taylor's just been brilliant, I think, the last couple of weeks for Liverpool. She was my player of the month last year. I thought she was phenomenal. We were raving about her, you know, at the game before Leicester. So I think she's been in great form. She obviously picked up an injury against Leicester and returned to full training last week and was back in the side on the weekend in the draw against Lewis. So it's brilliant that she's now, you know, fully fit and back. So she was excellent again today. And I think what I really liked about her was that she wasn't diving in.
Yeah.
And obviously we know the quality of these City players, and they were quite keen to get the fullbacks in one-on-one situations, and their manager Gareth Taylor, actually I saw a couple of times on the touchline, was sort of encouraging them to get wider and wider and really use the pitch. And I thought the fullbacks did really well. Raza Roberts, obviously she's played that position loads for Wales, so I do think we lose something when she's not in our midfield, because I think she adds a lot to our midfield. But today I think it was the right call to have her there, and I think she helped with her height and just physicality in the box as well on set pieces, which City were a threat at.
Yes, I mean, City were absolutely huge, John. It took up most of my discourse around the game whilst we were watching it, which must have been irritating for everyone around me. But Roberts at the back post on a number of occasions. As I say, it isn't just as simple as throws a body in. It's that she knows where she needs to do it. She's anticipated, and she's actually on a bike as quick, if not quicker, than the City attacker. She's almost anticipating in the way in which somebody, a forward, anticipated the back post.
Yeah, she won one on the ground as well, didn't she? Back post, which was a real dangerous cross here. Actually got sort of deflected, but it was one of those deflections that makes it even more sort of dangerous, because the ball sort of hangs, you know, in the pitch a little bit more than what it was, and you're just waiting for the tap in at the back post, and then she gets in and clears it away. And it was a vital one, that is again at 0-0. But you know, those headers back post were sort of really important, because as you say, it was a big team and she was helping on corners, but also, you know, on set plays, you know, in open play, you know, just having that player who's able to sort of clear your lines, who's able to sort of get you out a little bit, because they were big. It's funny, isn't it? It's not often the Jill Scott's doesn't the little one in midfield, is it? Do you know what I mean? In fact, there might be a first in terms of what I've seen, but you know, that's the level you're sort of going up against, isn't it? It's the physicality as well as the sort of excellence on the ball, really. You know, the complete players, you know, the sort of Man City team, and the good at everything. You know, there's no we'll get at them physically, or we'll pass it around them type thing. They can come at you with everything, really. So you've just got to hang in the game best you can. And to be fair, I think Liverpool did do that for quite a bit. And it's just a shame they couldn't get to half time.
It is a shame they couldn't get to half time. Both across the course of the whole match, and they get the whole game, Jan Robben and Nifahi they're doing the job that they've been asked to do. And I think that this is the difference between the roles that, you know, that Bonner and Greenwood play versus what Fahy and Robe end up having to do is fascinating, really, because theoretically they both play the same position, but they were doing, you know, quite different things. But on the merits of what Robe and Fahy were actually looking to do, they do again also win the battles. Again, they're very, very good from set pieces, where they are the smaller players, find the way to get the head to the ball, find the way to force it away. And if Liverpool had have got to half time, Emma, it would have been a massive, massive reason would have been the pair of them.
Yeah, I find it really interesting actually seeing their partnership form this season, because obviously, you know, Liverpool are without their usual captain, Sophie Bradley-Auckland, who's obviously not back until maybe January at the earliest, because she's taking time out to work in her family care home. So I was always a little bit worried about how Liverpool were going to get on this season at centre-back, because, you know, Bradley-Auckland and Fahy had a really nice partnership last season. So Robe has stepped up from the fullback position, and I think the partnership that she's forming
done incredible.
Is really, really exciting. I think that's really encouraging for Liverpool, actually. And like you say, today she was excellent alongside Fahy, just making those kind of last-ditch tackles and throwing their bodies on the line, and set pieces. I think they dealt with really well on the whole. And again, you know, Vicky Jepson was was praising of that post-match. You know, I think there was one chance which Sam Mewis had, which she probably should have scored with a header. But apart from that, from set pieces, I think Liverpool dealt with them quite well. The only criticism I would have, and this isn't just on the centre-backs, this is for the team as a whole, was just, I think, second ball City were just first to them everywhere, in every department.
But what I was saying before with the centre-halves, though, they were just defending the halfway line. And this was the problem. The problem was that Liverpool had the players scattered and City had real structure. And again, that comes through coaching, but comes through talent, comes through physical ability, and I think that's where you got to see it for me more than anything else. Not only would City win the second ball, but they'd also have it under control. They'd be using it in a purposeful way very, very quickly. They weren't engaging in 50-50s. The ball was dropping where they'd anticipated and they were back on the front foot.
Yeah, I think that's a key word, isn't it? It was the anticipation of it, whereas Liverpool were reacting to everything, and that was the difference for me today. And that's kind of what was the difference between the two centre back partnerships, was that it was Fahy and Robe that were reacting to everything, whereas Bonner and Greenwood for City were very much playing out from the back. But that goal just before half time for Liverpool, for, like, from my point of view, was certainly a blow because that centre back pairing had done well. You know, within that back four for Liverpool. So it came as a blow. I was quite surprised because I asked Vicky post-match whether that did come as a blow, and she denied it in a way which sort of suggested that they were, you know, before the game they would have taken going in at half-time only 1-0 down. But I think based on the defensive, you know, performance that we'd seen, certainly in that first half an hour in particular, I felt like it was just... It had kind of undone a lot of the kind of tireless hard work that they'd done.
I think it was because it was, as I say, came a minute after the Vinsola chance, yeah. which is more of a chance really, because it ends up bobbling off a shin, doesn't even going through to the keeper, and you know, which is frustrating really. So she doesn't even end up actually getting the shot away, but she's 3-1 goal. It's what you were waiting till the whole game for, mm-hmm. really, and what you felt she was been waiting for as well, and also the fact that it's such a sort of, I was going to call it a straightforward goal, and that's the wrong phrase, because it's an excellent touch.
It's tremendous.
And finish.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, but I guess what I mean is, in terms of, you know, you think, oh, City going to, you know, if they're going to open, they're going to cut us open, when really it's just a pump through the middle, isn't it? And she does really well. She gets on it, and you know, it's another ex-Liverpool girl. It's a great touch, and it's a gorgeous finish. But I think because it, I don't know, feels a bit route one, I guess you sort of feel like, oh, you should be done by that.
Just on that, one of the reasons why I thought the goal was frustrating was I actually think I'd felt like Liverpool had seen off the greater part of the threat for the first half. Yeah. I felt like City had almost done a bit of, let's just get to half time then at 0-0 now. And then we'll have a chat and we'll rework, and we're still very confident. But I thought, John, you know, that's why it frustrated me a little bit at the time, was a lot of the work had been done just to blunt City a tiny little bit. It wasn't like it was off the back of a set piece after tons of pressure, or the moving you around the penalty area, or it's one of those crosses that Roberts was dealing with. It was just, oh my word, she's done brilliantly and she scored.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the frustration, I guess. And you saw, like, it was, you know, how much it meant to the City players as well, which was quite interesting to me. You know, it's obviously a County Cup kind of, you know, group stage game, you know, at a second tier side. They've won the FA Cup at the weekend, you know what I mean? They could have just, you know, it was a real sign to me that, you know, they're not going through the motions here. And maybe for them, you know, they were starting to realise, we're in a slightly tougher game here than maybe we would have thought. Although, I guess with the Manchester United result, they wouldn't have necessarily, you know, taken Liverpool for granted. But I think, you know, they really settled. The bench were right up, weren't they?
Yeah.
And you know, they were surrounding the goal scorer and really settled. And so it felt a big game for the goal for them as well. And that sort of, you know, made it even more of a sort of killer blow for Liverpool.
Yeah, I think that was probably, those celebrations were probably down to the fact that for City as well, is that, you know, like I said, they made 7 changes, and those players like Laura Coombs, who obviously scored that goal, I think for her, when you got the likes of Rose Lavelle and Sam Mewis and Caroline Weir, who another ex-Liverpool player who was on the bench, a phenomenal player, you know, Kira Walsh, that are all like very well-known, renowned internationals. That, you know, it was a big game for some of those players. Mm. I mean, Laura herself has hardly had any minutes this season. Conti Cup is probably where she will get her minutes, and she was very happy post match in her interviews, and she was quite strong on really wanting to compete for the Conti Cup trophy. So while City did make changes, I think you know, the players that they had that came into the squad were essentially fighting for their positions.
It's also worth pointing out, you know, obviously you're much more on top of this than we are, Emma, as well, but you said before about City not having settled that well. They've actually only scored 8 goals in the 5 WSL games that they've had so far this season. So they've had the FA Cup run and they've done ever so well there. But to have only got themselves sort of 8 goals so far, I thought that's one of the reasons why they were celebrating it, like, because goals have actually been a little bit of a rarity for them. And so I think that that's why, you know, every change City make makes them a bit stronger. I think there's a real desire to get a couple of those players on the score sheet from a City point of view, because they don't stop second half either. Manchester City at 2-0, they are pushing and pushing for a third. They get the third in the end in injury time. They'd have liked a fourth and a fifth, I think, just to get as much confidence in the side as possible.
Yeah, it's an interesting point actually about the lack of goals. And I do think as well the fact that they have been a little bit sluggish at the start of the season, they now recognise that they're looking sharp and they're starting to really click. So they were probably really keen to carry on that momentum. And that was why I think we saw strong substitutions from Gareth Taylor. I mentioned them before, obviously Roosevelt, Ellen White, Steph Horton, a few of the names that came on. I think because they wanted to try and make the most of the situation and get some more goals in and finish on a high.
Yeah. From a Liverpool point of view, John, it's still... To me, it doesn't seem like Amelie Thresthrup's entirely settled as much as we'd like, both in terms of within the sort of team shape, which whether or not she wants to be 9, whether or not she needs to be a little bit deeper. It's a difficult game to judge this one on, to be fair, in this one. But it doesn't seem quite right there. And also maybe one for Hodgson and Lawley to have a little think about in terms of dwelling on the ball at times. You know, that was what was frustrating me. It would have been nice. There was opportunities maybe to move it a bit quicker towards Clark, towards Babajid at times. But throughout the whole of the match, I felt the ball at times was on a bit more than maybe they thought. But this is back to how well City press, how they block passing lanes, etc., etc.
Yeah, I think you're right to say it is tough to be an attacking player in that situation when, you know, the opposition is seeing more of the ball, and then when you do have the ball, you know, your options are limited and you're immediately surrounded by huge footballers. I think we're seeing more from Thresthrup, and I think you know, she's got a couple of goals recently, and I think you're starting to see the kind of striker she was. So I think I'm a bit more sort of positive than you in terms of, you know, what we've sort of seen recently. And I think, you know, it's not easy sort of playing up top on your own, and that's the sort of formation we play. And unless you're sort of like a Jess Clark, who's just very busy, you know, and is someone who's sort of buzzing around here, there and everywhere, I think there'll be times where you're just either not seeing the ball a lot or you're not kind of, you know, seemingly sort of getting in the game really. And we saw that last season, you know, whoever sort of Liverpool played up front, you know, they just sort of looked a bit lost, because, you know, I don't think Liverpool, you know, are a team who sort of, you know, create a ton of, you know, gilt-edged chances, you know, in terms of, you know, throwing balls into the box or whatever. You know, it's I think it's a tough gig playing up front for Liverpool, I guess is what I'm saying. But I'm certainly seeing sort of more from her in terms of, you know, the kind of striker she is. And I think at first I was like, well, you know, what's the game? And now I'm seeing more of that. And I think she's holding up a little bit better and running the channels a little bit better and just generally looking a bit more settled. On Hodgson, I think, you know, she's been playing full back and it's not necessarily her position. And I think when she gets those opportunities a bit further forward, I think she probably does need to sort of grab them a little bit more, really, in terms of, you know, or you know, she might, you know, find herself, you know, becoming full back more and more, I think. So I think she'll be maybe a little bit disappointed that she couldn't show more of an attacking threat. But as I say, it is hard.
Yeah, I think on Thresthrup it is interesting because I don't know whether I'm allowed to talk about this, but I will. But yeah, Liverpool actually they did have a friendly down at St George's Park during the international break, and they played against the England under-19s, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I think they won 3-0.
Yeah. Did you put the results on the website? Yeah.
Good. But yeah, and Thresthrup, well, yeah, it's a good job, isn't it? and Thresthrup actually scored twice, I think, in that game, and then she obviously scored on the weekend. So she was coming into this game with, yeah, you know, with kind of 3 goals in 2 matches, and when Liverpool signed her, she was kind of signed for the fact that she was quite prolific in the 6-yard area. She was more of a kind of a poacher type finisher, but I do think she has obviously taken time to settle, but I do think she needs, personally, I think she needs somebody to play off.
Yeah.
And I think that's her problem, is that she's probably a bit more like, I've described in the past, as probably more Bobby Firmino type player who likes to drop deep and pick up the ball and does kind of all the hard work off it. And I think she needs somebody a little bit more advanced with her. And I I think she plays well with Rinzola because Rinzola naturally makes those runs. And she obviously likes to cut in from the wide areas, and I think that helps set up this game. Whereas I think Jess Clark is probably a little bit too much like Sestrup in that, you know, she likes to drop deep. So, and I think that's probably why Vicky's played one or the other between, you know, Sestrup and Clark. But I think it'll be really interesting to see, you know, maybe Rins and Sestrup play up top together. I'd like to see that at some point in the season.
Other one I mentioned there as well, Emma, was Melissa Lawley, who technically really, really sharp onto the ball. It's just at times you'd just like, again, just like to see it maybe move just a bit faster from her feet.
Yeah, she's an infuriating player to watch, isn't she? Because we know that she's got talent. Obviously, she's played for England. She came from Manchester City. When she signed, she was a big, big, high-profile name. And at times today, you know, she showed that class. But you're kind of watching her sometimes and thinking, oh, just release it a little bit early, or, you know, just make a little bit more of a direct run. Sometimes she does just tend to sort of drift past players, but without really any real direction to where she's going. And it is infuriating sometimes, but I think that's where she's one of those players that Liverpool and this is Vicky Jepson's job and obviously her staff really need to try and find her role within the team, because since she has signed, I don't really know where she sits within the team. I don't really know what her best kind of role is. For me, she plays out wide, but she comes inside every time. Mm. But not to the effect that we have with Rinzola.
Yeah.
So do you then try and play her in a more central position? I don't know. It is a strange one with Mel Lawley. I actually thought she did well enough today, but I always come away wanting a little bit more from her.
The proof of the pudding in all this, John, to an extent, comes on Sunday. Sheffield United come to Liverpool. It's at Prenton Park. Liverpool are the home side for it. Sheffield United are unbeaten so far this season. Liverpool's primary aim is to get back into the WSL. It is a game that they are going to, you know, Liverpool do effectively, you know, need to win. It can move quickly, this league. You're playing 20 matches over the course of the season. Liverpool have already played 6, and they find themselves 3 points behind Sheffield United. So it is a massive game on Sunday.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And you sense they've sort of had their eye on it, you know, for a while, really. Frustrating last weekend that they couldn't quite hold out. Luiz are obviously a decent side and did okay in the game, but having, you know, led in the match sort of quite deep into it, really, not being able to hold on to that. And the equaliser, the second one, was a little bit soft as well in terms of, you know, dealing with the cross. And so the frustration, it feels like 2 points dropped that game just because of the sort of the circumstances of it and the fact that Liverpool, to be fair, pressed really well sort of last 5-10 minutes and couldn't quite sort of break through. So makes this game even bigger. And, you know, if you draw in your away games, then it's not the end of the world as long as you're winning your home ones. But this is a big one. And, you know, if you're chasing a team, the best way to make points above them is by beating them, and so they'll be bang up for it. Don't know what a big game this is, but Sheffield United will be the same. They'll be coming into it confident, so it's not going to be easy, but you know they've got it in them to do it. And generally speaking, the bigger the game this season, the better Liverpool have done.
That's true, isn't it, Emma? The other thing I point out is, you know, Sheffield United's last time out beat Crystal Palace, Liverpool drew with Lewis, but Sheffield United before then drew with Lewis as well the previous week. It's a nice and interesting little barometer game, that one, at the moment, I think. And this Sheffield United side, they're not unbeatable. Whilst they are unbeaten so far this season, Liverpool should be confident, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should, but then also I think Sheffield United will be confident as well, seeing Liverpool's results against those kind of those other teams. I think that there's a bit of a kind of a four-way battle at the moment between Durham, Leicester, Sheffield United and Liverpool in particular. Lewis, I think are probably within that conversation as well, but obviously Liverpool lost to Leicester, they drew with Durham, drew with Lewis, so I think they have to win against Sheffield United, whereas perhaps Sheffield have got a little bit more leeway there because they have put points up against those other teams. But look, Liverpool should be, and on paper they are, the best team in the league. So they absolutely will go there in confidence. And you know, as you said, John, I think Liverpool have stepped it up this season when they've come up against those teams where they are challenged more, and I think they thrive on that kind of that bigger occasion. So I was a little bit concerned actually when Vicky said post-match that she said, I think I asked her about the importance of the Sheffield game, and she said, well, our girls have played in bigger games. I kind of wanted to hype the game up, because I think that'll hype the players up. Like the performance that we saw against Manchester United, where they did seem hyped up. I kind of want that from them. But I think going into Sheffield, I think there's enough there from what we've seen this season to be confident enough of getting 3 points.
After that, by the way, Liverpool, one of the things, as Emma's just sort of pointed out there, Liverpool played a lot of the sides around them. We will be challenging for promotion. If they can get a positive result against Sheffield United, it's then Blackburn Rovers, Crystal Palace and London City, all of which Liverpool will feel are games they can look at and take 3 points from. But anyway, thank you very much indeed to John and to Emma for our post-match show after Liverpool fell to a 3-0 defeat against a tremendous Manchester City team. Sports Social Podcast Network.